It was on this day, 2,000 some odd years ago, give or take, a few on one side of the calendar or the other, when Jesus rose from the grave. He conquered death. We call it Easter, Resurrection Sunday. But I want you to go on a brief journey with me this morning on what happened after the momentous occasion of his resurrection took place. We know it was early in the morning, that Sunday morning, that first day of another week. The disciples approached the tomb. The stone was rolled away. Everything that goes along with that. Most of us are familiar with that story of Jesus conquering death. But it was a long day. I'm talking literally a long and hard day. You have people who were perplexed, who were frustrated, who had heard rumors that the tomb was empty. And it went all the way from someone had broken into the grave and robbed the body to pull a prank on the rest of the world, whatever the case may be. But later that afternoon, that Sunday, late in the afternoon, Luke, the historian gospel writer, tells us that there was an event that happened that sometimes we overlook because we put most of our emphasis, as we rightly should, on the tomb, the empty grave. But it was a conversation that the risen Lord had with two people on the road from Jerusalem to a village about 7 miles northwest of Jerusalem called Emmaus. Folks, these events that we're about to read quickly happened. It's history. There's no debating it from our point of view. But I'm going to ask you to read what literally happened, and then let's devotionalize it a little bit. Let's apply it to our lives. So if we begin right there, it would be, yes, we're reading about a man named Cleopas and another person who well could have been his wife, the scripture says. Really doesn't matter. But there were two people on the road to Emmaus, and they met up unaware that they were visiting and walking and traveling with the risen Lord. What happened on that road to Emmaus happens every single day that we live. For we all are on a journey. We are all heading back from whatever it might be that has rocked our world. And for those people living in the first century, those people who lived that first day of that week when Jesus conquered death, it changed their lives. And walking with them on that road to Emmaus and applying it to our own walk can change our lives as well. We pick up in Luke chapter 24, verse 15, where as the two people, Cleopas and the person he was traveling with, be it another disciple or maybe even his own wife, the couple were on the road, and they happened to join up with Jesus, or really, Jesus happened to join up with them, is the right way, the more correct way of saying it. He had an intention. He had a purpose. Let's read it. While they were talking and discussing, Jesus himself approached and began traveling with them, but their eyes were prevented from recognizing him. And he said to them, "What are these words that you're exchanging with one another as you're walking by?" And they stood still, looking sad. One of them, named Cleopas, answered and said to him, "Are you the only one visiting Jerusalem and unaware of the things which have happened here in these days?" And Jesus said to them, "What things?" And they said to him, "The things about Jesus from Nazareth, who was prophet, mighty in deed and word in the sight of God and all the people, and how the chief priests and our rulers delivered him to the sentence of death and crucified him. But we were hoping that it was he who was going to redeem Israel. Indeed, besides all this, it's the third day since all of these things happened. But also some of the women among us amazed us when they were at the tomb earlier this morning. They did not find his body. They came saying that they had also seen a vision of angels who said that Jesus was alive. Some of those who were with us went to the tomb and found it exactly as the woman also had said, but him they did not see." This road to Emmaus, this journey late in the day on that first day of a new week, a Sunday, when Jesus rose from the dead. And here we have two people Cleopas and his companion, who'd been in Jerusalem for the Passover, there's no doubt. But in their words, in their conversing with this stranger that they didn't recognize to be the Lord himself, what really strikes me is that they were seeing, but not believing. Seeing the truth, but yet not comprehended it enough to really allow it to affect their lives. It's like looking through the wrong end of a telescope. You ever done that? You look through the proper end of the telescope and it brings things that are far away close to you. But you flip it around and you look through the wrong end of a telescope and those things seem way out in the distance. Well, Cleopas and his companion, they were looking through the wrong end of the telescope, weren't they? They were seeing, but they were not believing. And you can tell that what they're really bothered by here is that what they expected to happen to the Messiah didn't happen. They expected Jesus to, yes, come out of a grave. Well, of course, because he would never have had to go into a grave. He would have been victorious over the enemies of Israel. They thought that they would be saved from suffering. And Jesus was trying to communicate to them that they were saved through suffering, not saved from suffering. How does that fit your own journey on your own road to Emmaus, wherever that is? That stopping point in your life, that tragedy that you're dealing with, that upsetting news. What's happened in this past calendar year to just about virtually all of us across the world, suffering and still suffering through a pandemic. Well, Jesus was not yet ready to reveal himself to them. He wanted them to learn a hard lesson. It says that he then said to them, this is verse 25, "O foolish men and slow of heart to believe in all that the prophets have spoken. Was it not necessary for the Christ to suffer these things and to enter into his glory? Then beginning with Moses and with all the prophets, he explained to them the things concerning himself in all the scriptures." Oh, I'd love to have been a part of that conversation, wouldn't you? The Bible says that on the road, Jesus, not yet recognized, talking with Cleopas and his companion, he then begins to set the record straight. And he tells them not just snippets from the Old Testament, but apparently gave them the big picture view. And that big picture view tied right in with the fact that though they thought they were going to be saved from suffering, when in reality they're going to be saved through suffering, just as the sinless Lamb of God did when upon the cross and in the tomb before he was raised from the dead. Here they're going to find that the question they must answer is, does the cross eliminate the crown? Does the cross mean that all is lost? Does the cross mean that Jesus was a failure? Does the cross mean that everything has been turned upside down and we're lost forever? Or does the cross really mean that because of the cross, there is a crown? Because of Jesus' death, there is victory. Because of his suffering and our accepting the will of God on our own road to Emmaus, wherever that is, that we must understand too that the cross does not eliminate the crown. It really makes it a reality. They approached the village, verse 28, where they were going. And he acted as though he was going to go farther. But they urged him, saying, "Stay with us, for it's getting toward evening. The day is now nearly over." So Jesus went in to stay with them. And when he had reclined at the table with them, he took the bread and he blessed it. And breaking it, he began giving it to them. And then their eyes were opened and they recognized him. And he vanished from their sight. It's pretty interesting, isn't it? That Jesus, as a guest in the home of Cleopas and his spouse, perhaps, that Jesus is pictured as the host. I mean, it could have been determined that it was kind of bad manners. I mean, would you go into someone's home as an invited guest and all of a sudden take over? Well, I guess I would if I was hungry enough, but Jesus all of a sudden becomes the focus as he what? As he breaks the bread, the Bible says. Lots to be made of breaking the bread. Most times in the scripture, especially in the New Testament, it always refers to taking communion, the Lord's Supper, bread and cup. I'm not sure what the meaning is here, except that Luke tells us in this verse that Jesus did the same thing in the home of Cleopas and his wife as he did in that upper room just a matter of 3 days earlier. He took the bread, he blessed the bread, he broke the bread, and he gave the bread. And whatever he did, whatever happened to trigger their sight, they all of a sudden understood who Jesus was, that they had been talking with the risen Lord this whole time, that on their road to Emmaus, when they were in darkness, when they were forlorn, when they were sad, the scripture says, in reality, they had met up with the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords and didn't even know it until Jesus revealed himself to them. You know, that's how God's presence in our life happens sometimes. Sometimes God's presence is elusive. When you least expect it, when you're in a situation where the furthest thing from your mind is something spiritual, then what happens? God intervenes. God takes over. God becomes who he rightfully is all the time. He becomes the host. He becomes the one in charge. Sometimes his presence appears in an elusive way, but we need not miss it. For we can experience God's presence in brief moments before the mundane closes in again. Hear me here. We sometimes experience God's presence in the briefest of moments before the mundane closes in again. What am I saying? I'm saying, folks, most of our journey is going to be one step at a time. Most of our insight is going to come not from the tremendous energy of a worship experience, though those are what we strive to have. Yes, no doubt. But how many times does God's presence come to us, and then it's almost as though when he appears, we catch a glimpse of who he is, and we understand what it means to obey, and we hear his voice, and then all of a sudden we're plopped down where? Right back in the routine of life. Dealing with the loss of a job, dealing with the breakup of a household, dealing with children who seem to head in the very opposite direction than they were raised. And of course, the virus, the disease that seems to come throughout history, doesn't it? It's in those times when God speaks to us clearly, and then we're put back in the routine of life. And we have a choice to make. What are we going to do? Are we going to listen? Are we going to obey? Or go our own way? Then they said to one another, verse 32, were not our hearts burning within us while he was speaking to us on the road, while he was explaining the scriptures to us? And they got up that very hour and returned to Jerusalem and found gathered together the 11 and those who were with them. And they said, the Lord has really risen. He has now appeared to Simon. They began to relate their experiences on the road and how he was recognized by them in the breaking of the bread. That's a long day. Starting at the crack of dawn with an empty tomb and moving as the news spread. The two followers of Jesus, Cleopas and his companion, in a walk with Jesus on a road of darkness, but turned into a road that they would always remember as giving them direction. Folks, there's no doubt this entire year has been a blur to many of us. The experiences that we have had, it's been tough. I mean, not being able to gather in worship for months. And then when we do, just wondering if Are people going to come back? Is it going to be better? Is it going to be the same? Is it going to be a step back? And all along, I'm reminded of this, that there are some among us who have not just suffered through a pandemic, but they have been slammed hard by other things. A diagnosis, a crisis, a frustration. I want to ask you to spend just these closing moments hearing from some of our own, hearing what they're facing. And I want to ask you to do this while you're listening. I want you to try to identify the common thread that runs through each one of their words.
Peter and I grew up together. We dated all through high school and attended the same church growing up. We got married at a young age and started having our family pretty quickly after that. As we began to grow our family, we started to grow apart from the Lord, each other, and our church home. When I was 6 months pregnant with our third, I unexpectedly lost my dad, and for many years struggled with finding peace in that loss.
At a low point in our marriage, we felt God's encounter saying, "You need to get back into church." We visited for a few years multiple different churches, but all of our kids attended First Baptist Church, Louisville's preschool program. And we felt him calling us here.
So in October of 2019, we joined First Baptist Louisville. Since then, our two oldest have found the Lord. And in April of 2020, some good friends of ours invited us to join a Bible study. So we did.
Through Zoom.
And we've got a great group of people, an amazing group of people to do life with.
God is good.
All the time.
Living in a time of being in quarantine seems to be difficult for people of all ages. But for some reason, it seemed harder for the women in my Sunday school class. Maybe because so many of them lived alone. And there didn't seem to be much that this teacher could do for them other than write notes, make telephone calls, and I did enjoy the times when I drove by to take them their lessons and had to stand outside the door and speak to them, but it was better than nothing. And then one morning I got a call from our church saying that there was a room that would be wonderful for us to meet in together, if we didn't mind meeting on a different day. So I passed the idea along to a number of the class members, and almost everyone thought it was a great idea. And that is how we began our Monday school meetings. Every Monday morning, we come to the church, we put on our masks, and we go right into our room that has been set up for us with the chairs distanced apart just as they should be. And as I watch the ladies walk into the room, I can see the love of Christ come with them. Oh, they've been talking to each other a little bit on the phone, but it's not the same as seeing one another in person. And it just became wonderful. And now we have many of our former members, old-time members, and some brand new members all meeting together each week. And it brings great joy to the heart of this teacher.
I'm young, I'm fit, I eat well, and I'm healthy. My job is even geared to help others around me move and function at their best. So it had never crossed my mind that I would deal with my physical health. In July of last year, I was diagnosed with MS, and my world was turned upside down. I had rested in the comfort of my health, and that was ripped from me. But God showed up in a very, very real way. He showed me then, and he continues to show me every day, that my peace, my comfort, and my identity rests in him and him alone. Nothing in this world is guaranteed, and it is not mine to control. I don't have to understand it, but I do know him, and he never changes.
I've never been one who was very good at depending, always thinking I could do everything myself. But this year has been especially tough. And one night, lying in bed full of worry with my head spinning, I just had this overwhelming feeling of the word trust. And I realized I can't do this all on my own. God was telling me, just trust and depend on me.
This last year brought an unexpected health crisis for me. In September, I was diagnosed with breast cancer, and after undergoing surgery, we found out that it was not stage one like we initially thought, and that I would have to undergo chemotherapy and radiation treatments. And I'll be honest, through this time, I've found it hard to pray for myself. I still pray, but the thoughts and the words just don't come easily. But I know that I have had many, many people praying on my behalf, and I have truly felt the love of Jesus through others. The peace and the calm that I have felt going into a major surgery and also the days that I have chemotherapy treatments is only a peace that can come from the Lord. I have gotten texts and calls just as I'm walking in for scary doctor's appointments and tests. And I know Jesus has been with me every step of this journey. I have just had to open my eyes and my mind to see his love and support.
Deuteronomy 31:8. The Lord himself goes before you. He will be with you. He will never leave you or forsake you. Do not be afraid. Do not be discouraged. These words took hold in my mind one morning when talking with God before a day that I knew was going to be stressful and emotionally draining. I knew the words were true, but I needed God to remind me of those as I went through the day. It didn't take long before he did just that. It started with an emergency room nurse and the small silver cross around her neck, just a reminder that Jesus was there. And then it was a text from a friend who had no idea what was going on, but just wanted to see if I was doing okay and tell me she was thinking about me. And then there was an email asking me to think of a time that I had experienced Jesus. And finally, at the end of a very long day, my mom's home health nurse texted with the verse Exodus 14:14, "The Lord will fight for you. You need only to be still." On that day, that long, stressful day, the God of the universe cared enough about me to show me his presence and remind me that he was with me.
Did you catch it? The common thread? Jesus was near. He was there, walking, talking. Folks, we're all on our own road to a place called Emmaus. We're maybe at different parts of that journey. Just as it was an incredibly long day that Sunday 2,000 years ago, Cleopas and his companion found Christ and realized that in spite of all of their sadness and in spite of all their seeing things from the wrong end of the spiritual telescope, when Jesus revealed himself to them, there was no doubt. For you see, Easter has always got to be for everyone. It's not a private gift. You notice the scripture says that as soon as Jesus broke the bread and revealed himself to them, they immediately got up, went right back to Jerusalem, right back to the place of testing and of trial and of tragedy. And they told their story. He was with us all the time. Well, folks, Easter is Jesus lives. He lives in you and me. Father, we come before you today thanking you for guidance, thanking you for the Word that changes our lives. And Father, as we move through the remaining hours of this day, help us to catch a glimpse in whatever we do, be it a family gathering or just enjoying thinking of you this day, just living life this day. Help us to remember what this day truly represents. And should we find ourselves in the midst of heartache and struggle, help us always to remember that you are near. It's all these things we pray in the name of Christ Jesus the Lord. Amen. God never speaks to us without giving us an opportunity to respond. And that time of response is now. We share a closing song of worship and praise, lifting our hearts and our minds to an empty tomb, to a cross, to a sojourner with us on our own road to Emmaus. And we're confronted with those choices. So it could be that there's someone in this very room today on this Resurrection Sunday. Something urged you to come to this place. And you have been in the presence of God. If you have never said yes to the claim of Jesus upon your life to be your Lord and Savior, we want to give you that opportunity right now. If you're looking for a place to call your own, a church family, where you can be yourself, where you can find encouragement, where you can grow. Here we are. Jesus lives. And let's celebrate it.